Hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of The Dice and Die, the D&D show. My name's Luke. I'm your host, your DM, your GM, your best friend, Lukey Baby 86. Or Lukey underscore Baby 86, to be precise.
Hello. Hey,
hello. Hello, everybody. With me tonight, I am joined, as ever, by Sean Lee.
Hello. How are you?
I'm all right, Governor. How are you, sir?
Oh, good. Yes, not bad.
Good.
Happy days.
Good, 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 good. Gavin Bourne.
You all right, me old cocker?
Hello, mate. James Bly. Mate.
Yes.
Yes. Was there a bit of lag there?
Oh. Yes. I am here. No, I just didn't want to. I didn't know what else to say after that. But yes, hey.
It's precise and to the point. That's all you need. And then Lisa Horton, of course. Last
Hello.
But by no means least. How you doing? You all right?
All good, yes, thank you, man.
Everyone all right? How are we doing?
Good.
Good, 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 good.
Good, good, good.
Dying for some D&D.
Dying for some D&D. We are...
like 2 weeks.
An actual play, role-playing, tabletop role-playing Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition podcast, in case you didn't know, and this is the first time you ever joined us. We like to mix it up a little bit, though. We don't get to see or talk to each other at all, lockdown and all that crap, so we kind of seamlessly blend general talk, what I like to call talk shit podcast. We talk about movies, we talk about politics a lot, and we play some D&D. That's us. That's who we are. No.
You say this every week, and it's something I don't really understand.
What don't you understand?
When you say we're an actual play,
yes.
What does that mean? Because
it means that we actually play the game as opposed to like an advice show or a show where they talk about the game. So you get like, play. So like one of the shows I talk about a lot, the Three Black Halflings, they... they're a DM advice show, so they're not an actual play show, but they are a Dungeons & Dragons show. So they wouldn't call themselves an actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
Makes sense now.
Yeah,
I
so we're on we're a specific genre. Yeah, so this has come up a lot on Twitter recently. Like, I've been really kind of trying to market a lot over the last weekend. So today's date is the 20th of October, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. I don't know when this show's coming out.
Yay, happy birthday.
Whoever's birthday is on
this episode.
This episode will come out possibly around Christmas sometime. We've lost track. I'll get to that in a minute. But I've been doing a lot and I've been thinking about how we advertise ourselves. So I've like changed our name a little bit on our podcast feed. So we're now the Dice and Die, a Dungeons & Dragons and other TTRPG podcast. So that people will find it easy. If somebody searches for Dungeons & Dragons on a podcast app, we'll hopefully appear on there rather than if we were the original D&D show or the Dice and Die show, we might not have appeared and things like that. And there's a lot of like posts that I found on Twitter. It's like, oh, explain your podcast and stuff like that. And I've been saying, well, you're predominantly actually, we're a Dungeons & Dragons podcast, but we're much more than that. And I've been using Headliner to show a clip from a few episodes ago where we're talking about schools going back to, it was the A-level results when we had that conversation back in the summer. Because actually, wow. I think that's our niche there, is that we are.
I think if you'd done an advert that was just, sorry. If we done an advert that was just, if we took every time any one of us said the C word and just cut them in.
God, we could do an entire
whole long
episode.
With some action music over the back.
I mean, that's 20 minutes. Just
easily.
Honestly, if I heard that.
I feel really bad. Like, I feel like we probably should try and curb that little bit. But you know what? I'm the worst offender. The episode that dropped this week was the double feature episode 24 and 25 back to back.
Yes.
And the intro is like 30 minutes long. And the amount of times I say the C word, and Emily's in the chat that week, and she's like, oh, you say, oh, Emily's just messaged me. And she's like, of course, he does say the C word a lot. And I do. And that might put some people off. I do apologize. But we're passionate. And that's what I've been saying, is that we're more than just Dungeons & Dragons. We're passionate. But I think what I like to do, we've got a new listener as well. Oh, fuck me. I can't remember his name. Mike Hibbert or something like that. He joined our Discord today.
We like to make people think,
He's just... he found us on Twitter, or I found him on Twitter, and he's been checking us out, and he seems to be really enjoying the show. And I said to him, like, what I'm really trying to recreate with this show, which, you know, the game, as I've always said to you guys, comes first. Like, this is for us having fun. And you know what? It's also a little bit extra fun to podcast it. That's cool. But, like, what I think is good about our show is how we recreate a real environment. You know, some shows are so professional and they edit out a lot of stuff and it's just bang, episode starts, game, high role play, everyone talks in character constantly. And I don't like those shows. The shows I like are the ones where you can just tell they're a bunch of friends just having fun. And I hope that comes across. And to this week's episode, oh my God, 2 hours long, but it was so funny. I was laughing from start to finish listening to that today whilst I was at work. It's absolutely brilliant. But yeah, so the past couple of episodes,
I'll have to listen.
I decided I was going to start tracking where we're at in our release schedule so that I can be like, oh, today is November, the blah, blah, blah. So last week I was like, so this episode is the 21st of December. It's Christmas. Happy Christmas, everyone. But then we've just dropped two episodes back to back and that's thrown that schedule out. So like, if you've listened to the last episode going, no, what? No, it's not. That's why. So I'm not going to do that anymore. It's around probably Christmas somewhere.
It's Christmassy.
Maybe. Merry Christmas. I don't know.
It's a festive time.
Definitely. So the tree's
happy,
up.
Happy festive time.
The tree
Merry happy.
But let's get through. Go on.
Got myself a new job.
Oh, you got it.
I'm not allowed to disclose after reading the contract. I can't disclose much on social media.
This isn't social media. That's all right.
No, it's fine. Yeah. So that's why I'll be Santa this year at Lakeside Shopping Centre.
That's fantastic. So are you like the only Santa that's there, or do you have shifts with other Santas?
There's only one Santa, Luke.
It's just you, full time.
There might not even be one, I think.
Well, to be fair, the way it's going, might not even be one. You might have canceled. Yeah. But if it goes ahead, I am breaking lockdown rules. I don't care. And I am driving down from Ipswich and I'm bringing my kids. And I'm not going to tell you. And I'm just going to turn up and you're just going to have to sit there.
You're going to find out what shift he's on, though.
Based on all shifts, that's what you just said. All shifts.
Oh, you are. No, I was joking.
If I go on my own and just want to sit on your lap, am I allowed to?
You can't, because we don't live in the same household, James, and therefore you're breaking the rules.
No, but once you're Santa, that's it, isn't it? You can't get COVID.
Have you got a two-meter Santa stick that you have to like sort of trod the kids
like with? A white mask that sits under the beard.
Brilliant. No, I'm really...
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
That's fucking awesome. It's the best thing I think that's happened.
I'd like... Panto's
I've never
on,
met a real life Santa.
It's made my year.
Yeah.
Best thing about 2020, hands down.
Absolutely. That's fantastic.
We'll see. Let me get a week in and I'll report back.
Nope. I'm there day one. No, it's awesome, man. I think you're going to have loads of fun.
Yeah,
it should be good laugh.
It'll be hard work, but it'll be good.
Yeah, and it's one of those jobs where you know there's an end to it as well. So it's not like... If it is super annoying.
How long does it run for?
So I believe the doors open, I think it was like the 11th of next month, I think, all the way through to Christmas Eve.
How long is your shift, Sean?
I think there are like roughly six, or I think it depends. I think the minimum is 6 hours. I think there's longer shifts.
That's going to be grueling,
I've not been given a timetable yet.
No. And presumably, with everything that's going on, it's going to be appointments.
Which one is? I don't know. Maybe time slots for queuing, maybe.
Yeah, I'd imagine that it's going to be quite restricted. You won't be able to just turn up and go. You probably have to like book a ticket in advance, I'd imagine.
I think
get a visa.
I've had to do that.
Get a passport.
Yeah, no idea yet. I've got no details except that I've got training. next month.
I love that idea. The idea that there's training for Santa. That is fucking brilliant. Right? Do you have to go in costume? That would be the best.
I do. I've given my sizes. I think we try the costumes on that day.
You must have to, like, I don't know, eat 50 mince pies in under 30 seconds or something.
Okay. I bet the guy who actually does it is like really intense about his Santa Claus tradition. Okay. And kind of like makes you say a prayer and everything, and like does like this special oath. It's gonna be fucking insane.
Ain't there a Simpsons episode or Family Guy episode where they do Santa school or something? I'm sure there is.
Don't know.
Oh, really?
Probably.
I don't know. I think you can see Homer in a Santa costume, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, he's definitely worn one at some point.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a Santa school episode somewhere.
Santa school, I'll have a look.
Yeah.
So I can get my training from Family Guy. I'm sure to go well.
That's good.
I was practicing my voice the other day.
Oh, you've got to give us a go.
Well.
Sneak peek.
It's a mix between, I don't know if I can do it because I'm a bit hoarse at the minute, but it's
just do Santa.
It's a mix between Ian McKellen. I just do Santa's voice. It's a mix between Ian McKellen and David Attenborough.
Do it.
And my line to get into it is the, for some reason, it's the Fresh Prince.
Fly, you fools. Thing. It's,
in West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Yeah.
It's along those lines.
But love
four,
it.
Cool.
Four octaves too high for Santa, but we'll go with it.
Excellent.
No, that sounds pretty good.
I'm thinking you got like more Werther's original. Think Werther's original. So,
needs to be a bit more homely and less erratic, crazy old man.
No, it's not erotic. It's all right. Emotional.
It just sounds, it's kind of what I'd imagine Pock would sound like as an old man, to be fair.
It is Pock, essentially. If you want to see Pock this Christmas, head over to Lakeside.
Oh, yes.
I crashed Thunderwave.
I just see a queue of like parent, little kid. 40-year-old bloke with a player's handbook, hair and little kid.
Yes.
I'm not sure available. Bloke is me.
Yeah, that's us.
That massive out of Tracy's going to come in handy.
Excellent.
Yeah. Released another song with the Lockdown Band today that came out on YouTube. So
what one was that?
What track was that?
It was Jimmy Eat World one.
Oh, yeah.
Lead American. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I saw Lewis on Facebook put there. It was coming. Yeah. He did one. Came out a couple of days ago, which was Billie Eilish.
Yes, bad guy.
Yeah.
Cool.
Is it Eilish? Yeah. I thought it was Eilish.
Eilish.
Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish.
Yeah, we're cooking up something cool for the Lockdown Band at the minute. I'm trying to get it out for Halloween release.
Yeah. I've heard a snippet of it.
Yeah. Oh, have you?
Yeah, we've got a chat, and it's Lewis sort of went, oh, you know, here's a quick snippet of what we got, and he was like, everyone was like, oh yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, it does sound really good, and
I'm excited.
It is going to sound very good when it's done.
Taking some work as well, but yeah, I'm excited.
Mm. Awesome.
Secrets.
Well, it was spill with the beans. No one here is going to care. No one knows, do they?
Yeah, no one here cares, guys. Come on.
Lewis has come up with an incredibly awesome metal synth adaptation of Thriller.
I was going to say, right, it's got to be Thriller.
So I'm doing the vocals and like the harmonies and all that crazy shit that MJ did. And
Lewis is one of those people who is so fucking amazingly talented that he probably should have become famous. Unfortunately, he was never able to find the right people to start a band with. Sorry, sure. Gav, no offence.
He did. We were a bit too long in the tooth by the time it came to us, to be fair.
It wasn't even that. I think the closest he ever got was with Keratos back in, you know...
We were better than Keratos.
Oh, you were. But it was a different scene as well. But I mean, I love Near Death Experiment. Oh, you know, I was the original bass player. After I left, you guys did get really, really fucking good. But it was just a bit too late in the
in the day.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But yeah.
I think the music industry now is a lot more fickle than it used to be. I think like they used to sign bands like that, and now you can be in a band and release music, and there's so much of it out there because you don't need a record label anymore. It's
accessible, isn't it?
It's so easy just to release music and not even tour, and just stick it on Spotify and things like that.
Yeah, it happens.
That is really good because, like, there is so much more music. It's more democratized now. Like, there's so many things that you can find that, like, they might only have, like, 3,000 people who listen to. Like, there's one guy called David Maxim Mikic. He's, like, some Serbian dude. And, like, I would have never found him back in the day when it was, like, Kerrang! or the radio that told me what to listen to.
And it blows my mind that, you know, we can release a podcast if we feel like it. That's mental to me. Yeah, like, no one checked. Like, surely there should be someone checking this.
No, it's great. Like, this is brilliant.
We've just released a podcast. That's it.
That's the thing.
You've, you've just done communication of ideas is like the most important thing about humans. So, like, the chance, we should all get a chance at it, no matter what we're saying.
Of course, This is why tickets for gigs and stuff are so expensive now, because record companies don't make fuck all money on releasing CDs or music anymore. So, they've got to charge 80, 90 quid a gig.
And they don't make no money on it either. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like that. That's what they only get money really from merchandise. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and that, you know, like that's only super fans really who go. Like someone like me ain't gonna go and buy a T-shirt just because like the band.
I mean, I went to go with Kid Joe at the Underworld, and I think they were wanting 30 quid a for a T-shirt, and I was like, fuck right off. Like,
you just go see one of the knockoff guys on the street corner,
don't
you?
Well, they don't even do those anymore. They don't have knockoff guys.
If I really like the band, I will either buy some merchandise or I will give him money over Bandcamp. Like, for him, like, I was,
Bandcamp's wicked.
He was putting his albums out for £3 a pop or whatever, and I've just gave him full price for each album. And it's like, that's great. That's how music should be done, like. You know, we can decide, can't we, what's good. You know, it's great.
And I think people earn money different ways now, you know, and you can monetize things. Like, people are becoming famous artists on YouTube and they're making money off the back of that.
So it's kind so strange. Leveled
up, you know, like,
it's strange YouTube. What people actually want.
Things you can pull on, cool.
Like T-shirts on Redbubble.
We're going to have to get someone there.
We'll have to do them.
We've got to get one there. Got to get one there.
That would have been such a good segue for merch.
It would have been, but we don't have any.
There's one as well. I think in the last episode, I think James said something. We're like, well, that's a T-shirt. And it was just utter shit. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, last
like,
week it was flanky wanky. I searched and searched
That's definitely a shirt.
Like,
that is for sure my catchphrase now.
When I loaded it up onto YouTube.
Wanky.
I loaded it up onto YouTube yesterday and I wrote the episode description and everything. And I remember last week James cracking a joke or someone cracking a joke and James saying that, oh, there's your episode title for this one. And I couldn't remember what it was. And I was searching for it and searching for it. I couldn't find it. In the end, I came up with some shit thing. But like, anyway.
I think it was when it pedo and rapists.
Was it that?
Surely it wasn't that dark, man.
It was all about comedians, and I think someone said about pedo and rapists, and I think James went, well, there's the episode title.
I don't remember.
Admittedly, it's but then bound some to of them I just block some out. Clicks, just the wrong souls.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, someone will listen.
See, end up with like imagine.
A really bad review, one star, saying like, "This is there's no pedos or rapists in this." Thoroughly disappointed. Clickbait.
Was Gary Glitter. Was quite good. Was quite good. Enjoying the banter, but would have preferred more pedos and rapists.
But he was talking about Ian Watkins.
That was in this week's one. Yeah,
there was a section. There was a massive section where we really went into Ian Watkins and what happened. I cut it. I was like,
we all feel failed by him, don't we? So, like, you know, all of us who enjoyed the first album, well, it was barely out.
We can't have two podcast episodes.
That's all right, they're going to get released like 12 weeks apart. That's fine.
Yeah, fair enough. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Right, everyone,
if you haven't heard it, Cunt and the Gang, the Wrong Ian Watkins, look it up on YouTube.
What's that?
Cunt and the Gang.
Right.
The Wrong Ian Watkins.
Okay.
Look it up. Look it up. It's hilarious. He's a Basildon boy as well, so.
Oh, well, so
yeah,
he's got three arms.
A few times, yeah.
Very amazing.
Gentleman's Wash, that was one of my favourites.
I went to Basildon once for work.
One time.
No, I did. I went there and I was so terrified that it
never went back
for me. But I'm sorry, but like it was like one of the most desolate, horrible. Oh, it was only like, what's that place? Hounslow. No,
I've never been there.
No, Harlow.
Harlow, yeah, he's like Harlow. It's just roundabouts.
Harlow's a fucking waste town, man. Yeah, just a wasteland. And like the problem with Basildon is it should be a wasteland, but people inhabit it instead. And then people have become corrupt and twisted by the magic that lives there. And they're all weird and like
there's a port to the Underdark there somewhere.
I'm just gonna write this
down for me one shot on a leg as well.
I have to put a disclaimer on this episode and apologise to everybody who lives in Basildon and Harlow.
Harlow. Thing is, there isn't enough population left in Harlow to actually have anything. It's more kind of a fallout sort of situation there.
I mean, I've just written a one shot in my head about this.
I'll be
very
back
subject.
In a moment. Sorry.
I was about to say let's play some D&D, but Gavin's gone.
As long as we don't play in Basildon, I'm good. Let's do it.
He's taking down his Basildon poster.
Basildon FC.
Sorry if any of our fans live in Basildon, but also well done for being able to use a keyboard and getting here. Like, you know.
With those web fingers.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, but it's true. It is what's funny about it, you know. I'd brilliant. Love to take it back, but I reckon I could make this point even in a court of law and no one would be able to actually have a good defence against it.
I don't know if I should tell the story about trying to bring improv comedy to Basildon. What's last year?
Well, you want to bring education and fucking, you know. That education and maybe some sort of martial law after 8 o'clock. I don't know.
I had to close a venue with another girl every night at like 11:30, 12 in the middle of Basildon Town Centre, and I was definitely bricking it.
Yeah,
it was not a fun place. There's a hell of a lot of like, I don't know, fucking meth going around there.
It's our
like,
version of Alabama, isn't it? It's our Alabama. Yeah. You know, it's...
sorry to anybody who live in Alabama.
yeah. To be fair,
they know.
Ain't that bad.
Come on, Luke, they know. You look at the fucking sign to enter Alabama; it's shot up. It's just bullet holes in the entire thing.
Man. Literally, right, I was like,
let's have a look.
We won't release this one.
Do we have any listeners in Alabama or Battleton?
No, I should fucking think not.
You'd be surprised, man.
I'm not sure if they even have internet in Basildon yet.
Where's Gav gone? Gav is gone.
Kevin's gone.
Nice.
Isn't that what you clean your fucking dishwasher with?
I mean, you shouldn't.
No, that's no. It's
only if it's got hot
reflux medication. Unless, of course, your pipes are filled with acid.
We can only hope.
London, Denver, Ipswich, Nashville, Dagenham, Des Moines, Atlanta, San Francisco.
I think it's Des Moines.
I don't fucking know. New York.
I love the inclusion of Denver, Dagenham, Des Moines. That's fucking brilliant. That should be our Twitter bio. Like London, Paris, Milan, but Denver, Dagenham.
Dallas. Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Hounslow.
Wasn't that the Trotters Independent Traders thing? It was London, Paris, Peckham.
Athens.
What have you Googled?
No, I'm on Red Circle on our analytics. So I'm looking at where people listen to us from.
There's no one from Basildon, is there?
No, there's not.
So, yeah,
and there is no one from Alabama either.
See, they ain't got in there yet. There's still a CFAX.
No, there might be.
They've still got in Carton 95.
Who knows?
In Carton, yeah, they're still putting their CD-ROMs into their old BBCs.
Vienna.
Actually, I don't think BBC's ever had a CD-ROM, so.
Kalamazoo. That's Chicago.
Amarillo.
Chicago.
Oslo. 15 in Oslo. It's not bad.
Call them people.
Considering the fact that we've got like 36 episodes, they obviously gave up listening.
So they have like really dark winters, don't they? So,
well, there's something to do. Well, should we start playing some D&D now, Gavin's back?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yay.
Boom. All right. So, last time on the Dice and Die, you're hunting orcs, essentially. Everything's gone tits up. Who even remembers what the main point of your quest is now at this point? You're just following side quests for the sake of it.
You would, Luke.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, so you found Wyvern Tor. You tracked down Carp. You broke in. You rescued Carp. You rescued Droop. Pock fucked off with Carp. That's a couple of episodes ago. You decided to, most of you decided to stick around and clear out the orc menace. And there's a lot of fighting. You try to escape. You go, this is enough now. We need to go. And you can't. The rope was cut. We then go and see what's happened to Pock. Pock is on his way to the mountainside, the hillside, a couple of miles away. He's going to wait for you for a day or so with Carp, get him to safety. cutscene in the night. He gets hunted down. Orcs arrive. Shit goes down. We don't know what's happened to Pock. We know he's in trouble. Cut back to you guys, and you're carrying on. You find you're looking for another way out, and you find a secret tunnel which goes into the sort of chamber, like an office. There's a bed in there, but there's like a table, and it's like a study for presumably some kind of shaman, magic using orc. And there's a bit of a fight. She runs off. It was a pretty good episode. Pretty good combat. There were some sturges involved. Couple of orcs.
Sturges.
Scapes gets commanded by magic to jump down a hole. Really, really good episode. And we ended the episode with another cutscene of Pock walking in through the front door of the orc cave. Let's take it back a little bit now. So when we last really left Pock, he'd been found by the orcs. He told Karp, run, get to Phandalin. Go, take my dagger, go. He turns around and he casts an entanglement spell at the orcs that are chasing him down, who are just throwing loads of javelins. He wild shapes into a dire wolf and runs in the opposite direction, hoping they're going to chase him and follow him and that they didn't see Karp. And they do. They chase him down. They're screaming. A horn goes off. And then seconds later, there's an answer from somewhere else. Another. Pock gets surrounded. He doesn't quite know what to do. These orcs charge in from nowhere, ambush, cut him down. He loses his wild shape. And that's where we left him. Out of breath and desperate, Pock doesn't know what to do. He's got no more wild shapes left. He's already used them both, trying to get away. Unfortunately, he went in the wrong direction and ran into more trouble. He doesn't have his talisman, so the spells he can cast are limited. And as he stands there, quickly thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out? This is it. This is the end. He thinks about all of the things he can do without his talisman that he doesn't need his talisman for, because his natural power just is able to do this. Thunderwave. He sends these orcs flying away from him in every direction. An enormous bang goes out. He then starts running again. He's got no more wild shape, but he can get somewhere. Mechanically speaking, he just needs another round for another action. He starts running, but they're chasing him. As he runs, a mist starts to form around him, like one of those old black and white movies. Think Dracula or Baron von Strahd, perhaps. And he just disappears into the fog as there's a puff of smoke around him, and he turns into a mist. The orcs, puzzled, look around. They stab at the mist, but there's just nothing there. They start talking to each other in their orc language. Subtitles. Where did he go? What's going on? How did he disappear? He must have changed shape again. Look around for a small creature. They hunt around. Can't find where he is. The camera then just changes in the distance, and you can see the orcs. They light up some torches. They've got dark vision, but even then it's easier to see in a torch. And they're searching around, and you can just see them in the distance, maybe 30 feet away. The range of the Misty Step spell, as Pock is sat in a tree, panting, out of breath, scared for his life. And he's sitting there, he's like, I'm not going to be safe for long here. What can I do? Reaching down to a piece of his clothing, Pock, he's a druid, yeah? So natural clothes, like his armor is like hide and things like that. Maybe he's got a bit of fleece on him. Minor illusion uses verbal and material components, the material being a bit of fleece. He rips off a piece of his clothing, puffs it up, and creates an illusion on top of himself, a 5-foot cube of leaves and branches hidden inside his own illusion. He just sits there looking out and waits. Eventually, the orcs move on. They can't find him. They don't know where. No footsteps. They talk to each other. Rah, 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 rah. There was another one, a boy. Go, you, back to the cave. And they disperse. Now we go back to the front of the cave. Pock was looking at the chasm, and the bridge had been cut. There's no way across. And as he goes back into the hallway behind him, if you remember rightly, he noticed something wrong with the wall. And as he went to research it, it was just ever so slightly open, ajar. Now, what, of course, you don't know orcs came out of here. There's a door there, a secret door, but they've just left it ever so slightly ajar. He reaches up, unclicks it, and goes through. Now.
That's how you play Park. Jesus. Should have done all of that, shouldn't I, really?
Yeah, well, maybe. I told you I had a plan.
No, you had guilt.
That shit I wouldn't have even thought of, to be fair. Yeah, you had guilt. Yeah. I'll bear that in mind.
Let's go
awesome,
to the map. The rest of you, we left last week in this long room, which has yet to be explored, surrounded by some couple of dead orcs. Scapes is still limping his way up the steps from this dark hole. Don't know what's down there.
Steps towards heaven at the moment.
Yeah. It's a beautiful map. So this map is taken from, I've forgotten, I've said it before. It's Tales of the Yawning Portal, a load of one-shots, of like old famous one-shots. And this is the Forge of Fury. What are you guys doing? You've just defeated the Shaman. You've just defeated the Orcs and the Sturges. Let me give you a description of the room that you are in. The ceiling soars 30 feet high in the centre of this impressive chamber, and the walls are carved with images of dwarves at their forges. Two large stone doors exit to the north and south. Now, you came from the south. A gate of wrought iron stands on the western wall, just about 20 feet from where you are. In the centre of the floor, a natural rift descends sharply. Dozens of stone steps lead down into darkness. And you can just about hear the distant sound of running water and a curious buzzing coming from far below.
Okay, I just want to kind of stagger up these steps a little bit and fall over, obviously looking really hurt, hoping someone will notice me.
I've noticed you.
Yay!
I can't do anything about it.
I've got one healing potion.
Oh, I have. I have literally one spell slot left of healing word.
Yeah, I've got 5 out of 28. So, if I was to put an arbitrary number on it,
I will cast healing word to give you a little bit of something.
Oh, I'd love that.
But you might need to do a potion as well. That's 6 points of damage, points of healing.
Damage? Oh, fuck.
I killed it.
No, I'm hideously wrong. Typical Millicent.
Sorry. Points of healing. Points of healing.
Thank you.
Do you want this health potion as well, Scapes?
Wait, what have I got? 6 from...
Yeah, 6 from...
Millicent. That puts me on 11 out of 28. So what do you guys think?
Who's on what the moment? Who's on what hit points at the moment?
I'm good.
I've got 13. You've got 11.
Why is it not 11? Change my.
I've got 2 hit dice left to use. What's that? It's on a short rest, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Can we take rest here? Because then, oh, wait, you've already given me that healing. I just can't seem to put it
on. You can take a short rest if you want. It is an hour, but I mean, you could.
Could we take that instead?
I want to search this shaman and see what this bitch has got on her.
Yeah. And I want to have a look around the room and see if there's any other exits, because I don't fancy going down them stairs.
Definitely not.
Well, to be fair, it sounded like running water down there, and I would have thought that as a way out. But yeah, there was a buzzing also.
Yeah, buzzing also, yeah.
I have a feeling, well, I don't know if my character would feel like this or know anything about this, but has there been mention of, like, fissures to the Underdark and issues like that? There has, isn't there, from, like, the old shit that happened a few years back, right?
No, as far as I'm aware, there's no real... I mean, the only mention you've got, really, so far in this adventure is, you know, of course, the Black Spiders are drow, and drow live in the Underdark. But that's the only mention that you really got of it. But the Underdark is miles underground, so you have to go down a long way to get to the Underdark. It's literally another world that's underneath the top side of the world, I suppose.
So, I took the healing from Millicent, so I'm now on 11. Should we leave it at that for now?
It's up to you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind giving you this healing potion if you want it.
Yeah, go on then. Give it to me. I'm greedy.
Healing potion over to you.
Oh, what's the roll?
What is the roll for healing potions?
2d4 plus 2.
2d4 plus 2.
Like I said, don't forget you could have a short rest. If you want to go and search that room, you could go in there. If you remember rightly, when she ran out of that room, she unlocked it with a key. So you could lock yourself in that room and try and take a short rest rather than using potions and stuff if you wanted to.
Should we do that?
Yep.
Yeah, I feel bad. Sorry, Millicent.
And you said you wanted to search her, no. So she doesn't really have much on her other than... the key is still in the door, but she used one already, but she does have 2 call them potions, but they're more like vials of alchemist fire. That's what she threw at Droop and set him on fire with. Her weapon is a spear. She has a spear. And then she's got like spell components and things like that on her. But that's about it in terms of what she's got on her. But there's her chambers, if you want to go and have a look in there. Back down in that room, there's a fire smouldering. There's a bed. The secret door is still open. Chair and table, little study.
We're going to have a mooch round in there.
Yeah.
Move my man in there.
I'll follow him.
I'm going to have a look around. Give me some perception rolls.
5 plus 3, it's an 8.
Okay. 8 for Burr searching around.
What is it? Perception?
Yeah.
5.
I've got 10.
10.
Shit rolled.
So the room is cluttered with crude furnishes and the air is hazy with the smoke of that small cooking fire in the southeast corner. Sorry. There's dozens of yellowed skulls suspended from the ceiling by fraying ropes strung through the holes punched in the bone. There's not a whole lot there really on the table and stuff. There is like a tatty book, which none of you are really able to read. I guess it is in Orcish, but there's some kind of like arcane symbols on it and things like that. You think maybe some kind of spell book or something. However, you do find a couple of leather sacks amongst all of the clutter on the desk, each one containing 160 silver pieces. So that is 320 silver pieces.
Jesus, we're rich.
Did we take a short rest, by the way?
If you want to take a short, you can lock yourself in.
I'm not saying we have to. It's just up to you guys, but let me know.
Well, we figured we'd... Would we use that rather than the healing potion?
I would, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So, there you go. What are you going to do, guys?
Well, we've had a rest. Now we need to get out of here.
Yeah, find Pock.
Can we get back into that chamber where we just fought everybody?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to have a mooch around the whole chamber and see what's what. That's all right. See if there might be another secret door or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, there's a door to the north, and then there's the gate to the west.
I saw that before. Just
go and check out the gate.
Can I use investigation on the gate?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yay, thanks. Oh, 9. Can I roll it twice on the gate?
No, you investigate that gate, and it appears to be a gate.
Is it locked?
There's a gate here, everyone. I don't think I rolled high enough to even find out if it's locked.
The lock is rusted shut. So if you try to open the gate, it's locked.
Can I attack the rusted lock?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Yeah, I just go, stand back, everyone. And I go, puppy power! and roll a 13.
Yeah, that'll hit. It's only a thingy.
Yeah.
A lock. By the way, who picked up the vials of fiery shit from the shaman?
And Millicent was the one that said she searched the shaman.
Did I?
Yeah, you said you wanted to see what stuff she had.
No, Gav said that.
I searched it, but who wants the fiery vials of shit? Anyone?
I'll take them. So I have how many fiery vials of shit?
Two.
Two fiery vials of shit.
And does anyone want a spear?
Nah.
Nah.
I use the sword.
Sorted.
Okay.
Just before we move on.
Anyway, I just heroically defeated this lock.
Yeah, it's a rusty lock. You smack it with your magical longsword and it breaks. So the iron gate is stuffed with like blankets and straw pallets and stuff, but like in between the holes. But you smash it and it comes ajar and you can push it open. That's fine.
There's another door at the north, isn't
there? Door at the north, if you want to.
I would like to investigate that door.
Cool. So that door...
Whatever you want me to do.
To the north is carved an image of a glowering, is that the word?
Glowering
dwarf's face. Hinges are visible. On either side of the door, 8 small spouts are carefully worked into the stonework about 10 feet above the floor. There's skeletons on the floor as well around there, as you can see. Let's have a look. Roll me a perception on that.
22.
22. So the skeletons near the door, their remains show signs of severe scorching. There's some rusted axe heads lying near the bodies with no signs of the weapon's hafts.
Yeah, I'm going to back away from that door and keep an eye out for pressure plates and all that sort of shit.
Okay, so roll me another an investigation on that one.
15.
So, yeah, you can tell then there that with a successful DC 10 investigation check, a character deduces that they form part of a trap mechanism.
Yay, clever. So I'm just not going to attempt to go that door and set off that trap.
Anyway, can I kick this door slightly open?
If you want to. Which door? The gate?
Yeah, the gate. I want to kick the gate so it goes...
Yeah, you can open the gate.
Make as much noise as possible on escape.
And then, yeah, I'll stride in a little bit.
Cool. So as you go up into corridor, you can basically, you get about 10 foot in, the then starts turning to the south, but it's just chokes with boxes and sacks and rubble and things like that. You could probably clear your way through it if you wanted to.
I attack the rubble.
You start attacking the rubble. Burr, Millicent, yeah. What are you guys doing?
Well, follow in, I guess.
Yeah, I think just follow in behind.
You're not going to go and look at the trap door?
Well, I can go and see if I can...
It's a trap door. Why would somebody trap a door if there's nothing behind it?
Maybe that was what I was thinking. Don't let him tempt you.
Being a rogue, we are trying to get out of here.
But I'm naturally inquisitive.
You can be inquisitive. I'm only joking. Do what you like.
Okay.
Droop,
curious, goes up to the door.
I'll have a look at it, but I'm not quite sure that traps are my speciality. Let's have a look. I'm not messing with that. I only rolled a 5. I mean, medicine is clearly
into the door.
What have I got to roll for to check that?
Well, I can tell you it's trapped.
Yeah.
Perhaps you are able to then look at what kind of trap or what sets it off or...
Yeah. What would I use to disengage it?
Give me an investigation as a check as well.
Right, I'll do that. Fuck's sake, I rolled an 8.
Just an 8, no modifiers?
No, not for investigation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're not quite sure. So Millicent's already said that she reckons that these spouts down the sides of the door probably form some kind of trap. It's pretty obvious. There's dead bodies on the floor. Something's going to come out of there. But you're not quite sure what. You're not quite sure. You can try and deactivate it if you wanted to with your thieves' tools.
Yeah, give it a go. What's the move?
So that's a... It's a sleight of hand check. It's a dexterity check plus your proficiency bonus.
4. Fuck's it, 5. I'm changing these dice. I'm going to go and burn these.
Can I just bar? can escape just bar to the door?
Okay, so you
don't want to do that.
You go, okay, well, I'm not quite sure what it is, but I can see here that there's some kind of thing here. And if I probably do this and maybe disconnect that. But you only rolled, what, a 5?
A 5.
So is that 5 total?
5 total, yeah. I rolled a 1.
Oh,
plus fucking 5.
Hell. Okay. Oh,
no. Plus a 4, yeah.
Can you make me a dexterity saving throw, please?
Yeah, what do I need to roll for that? Just a 20, yeah.
D20.
Yes, an 11 plus what?
Your dexterity saving throw.
Plus 4, so 15.
15, lovely. So these spouts burst out with fire out of these fires, but it's kind of sticky, kind of like the alchemist fire.
Sticky fire.
Jar. You manage to jump out of the way, but you still get singed for 4 points of damage.
Take me for playing with fire.
It does stick to you, and you are a little bit on fire.
A little bit on fire.
Yeah. Well, you managed to escape most of it, but you are...
I stop, drop and roll. My beard's a little bit skew-whiff now.
Well, I mean, it's up to you guys, really, what you want to do. There's probably something cool behind there. I don't know.
It's got to be saying good around there. It's got to be saying good.
Yeah, okay, it could be the way out. I don't know. Huh?
Open it before...
Barge the door now.
You want to just go and run and barge that door?
Yes, please.
You run and you barge that door and you kick it open. As you kick it open, it's like you see this weight kind of drop. Roll me a dexterity saving throw as, again, these flames burst out.
Yeah, let's do it. Dexterity.
Saving throw.
Oh, dear, that's not good. Oh, 14.
Lovely. Okay, so again, you managed, you know that it's coming. As well. In fact, you knew it was going to happen. So roll again with advantage. So it looks like you did roll twice, actually, by accident. A 14 and a 12 on the screen. Yeah, so we'll just
And you should probably take that because I've lost it.
You also take 4 points of damage and you're a little bit on fire, but the door is burst open and where you've slammed through it, the trap has become disabled as this weight has just dropped down to the floor. Inside...
Nice stop drop from while.
Yeah, I assumed that you would anyway, that's fine.
Sorry.
You've barged through the door already, but inside there's some barrels, some copper barrels. And you notice there's a system of pipes coming out of the barrels that go through to the trap. This weight that's now broken that was setting it off.
What, connected to the trap?
Yeah.
There's
buckle in there. That's safe now. We can go in there and look at it.
You can go in and look at these massive copper drums. And you open it up and it's filled with the alchemist's fire.
Oh, great.
Well, you know
so what's we can take in. As much of that as we want.
Yeah, so basically you know that the alchemist's fire, basically once it comes in contact with air, it combusts. So this trapped inside these copper drums with the pipes coming out. But you could possibly find a way of decanting it somehow.
Yeah. Anyone got any bottles on them?
No.
Is there anything in the bag of holding for you either?
Is anybody proficient with alchemy supplies?
No. Oh, no, that's not true. I have alchemy supplies.
There you go. So yeah, you can if you've got some like empty flask or things like that, you can salvage yourself an extra couple of flasks of an extra four flasks. Well, it says 1d4. Yeah. So,
Droop, chuck us your shoes.
You have another four flasks of alchemist fire. I'm going to leave you there. Yeah, it's not great stuff, but you can find the rules for it. But it's
it'll come in handy, I'm sure.
I think it has an area of effect, I think.
It doesn't. I thought it did, but it actually doesn't.
I'm thinking of Baldur's Gate.
Yeah. I think you throw it on someone, you make a melee range attack, you throw it at someone, and if it hits them, they take like D4 fire damage, but it sticks to them, and then every round they take damage unless they use an action to put it out, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Pock. While they're fucking around, you go through this hallway. I'm going to talk you through this just to speed it up.
Okay.
And you go down some steps here into this room. And this room, you can see there's some arrow slits pointing out to the entrance where you came through originally. So you can see it on your screen. You walked up here, through here. There you'll see that's the chasm. Then you've gone through this secret door. And there's these arrow slits that point out to that room. There's a corridor going up here. And when you get up here, there's a door which takes you through here. And you come out inside this room filled with beds, boxes. You have to force your way out through these boxes and everything. And you see that there's all these dead bodies of these orcs.
Cool. So
someone's obviously been here before. Now, you've seen this room because, of course, you witnessed the players kill these people.
Yeah.
These are the orcs. There's the guy that you thought was a boss that you guys got a surprise round on, burst through and just killed like in one round. You come out of here and you're in.
Are you talking about the room where Scape's pissed on all the beds?
Yeah, it smells a bit musty in there.
On the beds.
Secret.
Oh, nice.
There's a door there that none of us see at the other side of it.
And there's a door there as well, going up some steps. And I'm going to leave you there for a second as you come down here.
Yeah.
And you see, and you don't know where you're going, but you're just looking around, and that's all you're doing. You're just looking around, finding your way at the moment because you don't know where you're going. I'm not going to sit here and go, which way do you go? Because you sure know which way to go, but of course, Pock doesn't. So we're not going to sit here and role play you guessing which way to go, but you're going to start using some of your skills to look around, see if you can notice footprints, see if you can hear anything. And it's probably going to take you some time to navigate your way around, but eventually you probably will.
I was going to say, could I hear all that fucking calamity that just happened?
Possibly.
Kicked down.
Possibly. Absolutely, yeah. You hear some banging, crashing. Oh, probably everyone. I mean, what are you guys doing? Are you
smashing away at this thing now. After I smashed through that door, I instantly went back to smashing at this.
Excellent. Is anybody else?
I'm going to be ready. I don't know what that noise is. I'm going to be ready as I approach. Well, to run away, if anything, I think.
Cool. So you hear all of this smashing and banging. What do you think Pock would do? Would he go in? I mean, you guys are smashing this down together, I imagine, moving these boxes out of the way. And I imagine that you would probably help.
He knows they're down there. Even if they're not, he needs to know where they are. So either way, he's going to look for them.
And you guys are going to be talking as you work, surely, as well. Maybe not shouting your heads
off. Yeah, I'm going, God fucking God damn it, we need to get the fuck out of this place.
So as you walk down this chamber, there's piles and piles of rubbish and debris packed up. You're heading towards this sound. And as you come down here, you notice that there's this pool of murky water there. I don't think Pock ever went and explored this area, so he probably didn't see it before. I think he literally went prison and out.
Prison and out, yeah.
Yeah. So just this room is basically, as you can see on the map, it's quite long and it kind of goes in a bit of a banana shape. You've come from a nice, well-cut wall kind of corridor to the north, and as you've come down, there's a couple of offshoots to the west as you go down.
Can't remember the way you actually...
Haphazard stacks and crates, barrels, sacks and bundles crowd this long cavern to the north. Two finished stone passageways open to the east and west, which is where you just came from. A narrower opening leads south. In the southeast corner is an old well full of murky water. And then you've got this passage going east, which is blocked after about 10 feet by packed crates and sacks of flour. But you can hear on the other side it all getting moved out of the way and Scape's going, God, bloody hell... Bastard, wherever he was, he just
said.
What
a waste of flour.
Eventually, you burst open a hole. Standing before you is your friends.
Hey. Oh, well, about time you showed up, you little bugger.
Puck just collapses on the floor. Ba-dum. Straight down. He can relax. He has people will help him.
Wonderful.
Millicent walks over and steps over Puck.
What a bitch.
And we continue through the dungeon.
Didn't see that coming.
And Droop starts poking at Puck.
Hey, Master Puck. Hey. Master Puck, you're back. Where's Carp?
Fuck me.
Really? That's terrible.
Look, it's, I just kind of explain what happened. I was attacked by a couple of bands of orcs, and I've sent Carp running back home.
He's so much safer now. Well done, Pock.
I had no choice. Yeah. If it's either he ran or he died.
Well, as opposed before, he could have probably escaped through subterfuge. But anyway,
you know, at the minute I've got fuck all hit points left. I'm on my ass. I don't particularly need the fucking pep talk. But thank you anyway. So I just, for the sake of time, explain kind of what happened, how I got away and found them, and
anyway, do you know I'm the fucking sorry. Way out of here?
Maybe we should give him some healing.
Yeah, do you want a healing potion?
If anyone's got any, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll take this one.
I don't know if I would have had a rest or anything
like that. Yeah, so you had mechanically a short rest in the tree while you were waiting for the orcs to fuck off. Because you were nat fucked, weren't you? So your hit points are probably all right. Because I don't think you'd had a short rest yet yourself. So you probably had all your hit dice and could have used them all.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, no, it turns out I'm fine.
He's beaten and he's tired. But, like, considering the fact that all of that was actually one massive cutscene, I'm not going to now penalise you and say, oh, yeah, by the way, you've got no hit points.
No.
Okay, cool, right. There's a few scrapes and scars, but he's healed himself to some extent. Not
emotional.
Don't
spit the party again.
No. Sorry, DM. Look, yeah, I can show you the way I came. I think I found a door somewhere. I can't remember, but if I ask the DM nicely, he'll show me where that was.
Thank God.
I hope Carp's okay. And give me that fucking thing. And I just rip the wherever Scapes has my fucking totem. And I just take it. Jesus Christ. Pop that back on. Mm-hmm. I won't be doing that again. Are you all okay?
We're all great, and we're bloody glad to see you. And Scapes gives him a hand up.
Thank you very much.
Gives him a hand job.
That's what I thought we said.
Here, have some lay on hands, son.
Oh, easy time. Now we can put, like, we talk some shit about politics, we play some D&D, and we do hardcore pornography.
I have to say, I am sorry for leaving. I feel that you guys are fine.
You had to do what you had to do.
But I had to do. And speaking of which,
he has a wedge.
There is a carp heading in the wilderness back to Fandon. It's the best I could do for him. I would like to go and make sure he's fine. But maybe we'll discuss.
Let's get out of here first.
Yeah, I think we've creamed this place now. I think we've done them enough damage to get back.
We've got nothing left. I will explain to Pop that we have cleared out.
Is there
three or four rooms?
Is there any way we can blow this place up with that fire oil that's obviously pumping through pipes?
Just set a timed something, but I don't know how we.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I don't have that sort of brain, unfortunately.
We have a keg of brandy.
We could just set a fire.
Use the brandy as a fuse.
But that would be too quick, right? Like, we could just set a fire and hope that it gets there eventually.
Well, we could move all this detritus in there, set a light to it, and then run the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
What's this? And I point to the murky pool of water. Did someone investigate that? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a shithole water pool.
Okay, so okay. I mean, that's...
Or as orcs call it, soup.
there's a potential that we could have rid of this place.
We could set. Honestly, I think we should put all of these boxes right next to those things, or even open them. But I mean, I don't think we'll have to. We set that room ablaze. They will pop. That will melt.
Yeah,
they were only bronze or whatever.
I wouldn't open them because if they're alchemist fire, then contact with air makes them ignite.
Yeah, fair play. Yeah. Right. Well, I think that gives us enough time. All we've got to do is stack all this wood in there.
I feel that there are orcs on their way back here.
Well, let's make
the last I see them, there was some heading to Phandalin, I think, and some heading back here. And I don't think hanging around, you know, we could set it on fire, but the orcs are still there. I'm sure they'll find elsewhere to exist. There's nothing just down here. I think we should fuck off.
How long did it take you to get to this point?
It took me exactly, insert DM comment.
An hour. I don't know how long. Our time is all over the place because I have no idea.
I just mean from the front door through the passages to...
Like 5-10 minutes. He had to search around, not knowing where he was going.
Let's get out of here.
Cool.
If we can be out and, you know, a bit safer. Mm-hmm.
Front door, is that our only option? Back up the rope?
No, the rope's gone.
The rope's gone.
The what? It's gone?
Yeah.
Did I know that? I can't remember.
No.
Okay.
Well done.
I think it got singed to death, didn't it?
Yeah, I think they pulled it up and they cut it, didn't they? The gawks at the top.
Oh, no, I thought it got burnt. Sorry, I thought it got burnt by the fire.
No, so it got cut at the top, it fell down and then burnt in the fire. I think from what I remember end of last week, I did describe you going to the chimney.
Okay.
Yeah, you did.
And then seeing there was no way down and then coming back down.
Front door it is.
Yeah, the way you came in.
So if you're just leaving, and save you some time. Yeah, I mean, trying to think about your plan, like in terms of blowing stuff up. Basically, you go up this way, the way you go this. Do you guys realise where you are on the map? You've been here before, yeah?
Yeah, we've been there before, yeah.
The only place that you have not been in this entire place is... through that door to there's a door to your south right there where I've just put you. That's the only place that you've not been. If you wanted to investigate, otherwise,
I'd like to investigate the door.
Pock tells you that the way out is this way. In here, there was a door there, basically. So really, it's up to you guys. But you knew that there was a trap there now, so I'll allow you to move over that trap without setting it off. I forgot about that with Sean a moment ago.
Can we just have a listen at that other door where the steps are?
You certainly.
Just for like breath or, you know, people movement, whatever.
Yeah, you certainly can. you hear some incredibly loud snoring.
Yeah, it'd be like a fucking another owl bear or some cunt like that.
Yeah, I don't fancy that.
Yeah.
Just get out of here as quietly as we can.
Yeah.
Because it's the middle of the night, isn't it now? Like, you guys attacked at night, so it's been like 2 or 3 hours you've been here, all in all. It's the middle of the night.
I think one of that thing's going to wake up to.
But there is. Just sneak into it. If it's snoring, we sneak in, cut its throat.
That's what I think.
You hear. You don't hear lots of snoring. Like this room that you're in at the moment where there's lots of beds, and there was another room you was in with lots of beds. So you knew that there was like a common room, like a barracks. You could have expected in the middle of the night to maybe hear a couple of different things snoring. When you listen at that door, you hear one thing snoring, and it is very loud.
So it's going to be big.
That's like the boss man doll.
Yeah, it's a boss man.
Guys, I got nothing.
No, neither have I.
Not a single spell slot left. No, my only cantrip is a mage hand. If you want me to slap it on his ass, I can do that, but that's literally all I can do.
Give it a little tickle. Little tickle.
Give it a little
tickle
on the
chain. We could sleep in these bed until it wakes up.
Even if I had anything, I still choose to leave.
All right, then, let's leave.
We've got to be a little bit sensible here.
Okay, yeah, cool. Let's leave.
We'll end up dying otherwise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is just dungeons.
You go back the way that I'll scoop you up. If you were listening when I was describing it to Pock, there's a corridor, arrow slots. You go out, you come out into this chamber, and you can see that bridge is no longer there. It's hanging down on your side, and you hear the rushing water at the bottom of this massive cavern. On the opposite side, you can see where you were not too long ago. And if you keep on going to the west, you've got steps going down and down. Those orcs are not there. I just remembered there's a couple of orcs there. They are not there. Don't worry about that. And then you're out of the cave and you're on the side of this hill, and there's basically, this is a steep, steep drop. There is a pathway that will take you ever slowly round here, eventually going down the hill. If you remember when you first arrived here and you were scoping the place out, there was a pathway that led up the hill, and that's where you are at. Going down and down the hill.
Let's find somewhere to camp for the night. Yeah, a place
lick
to
lick our wounds.
Yeah.
If there's still an orc hunting party out there, we need to do some work to hide ourselves, I think.
Yeah. We can.
No fires.
We found a cave.
Yeah, no fires.
You're all tired. You've had some short rests, but you haven't had a proper sleep. You've gone through the night. It's now maybe 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and you've not slept since the previous day. Nothing left in you at all, as you just discussed. You're tired. You need to get out. You need to find somewhere to rest. You need to get back to Phandalin. You need to find Carp. Possibly warn Phandalin. I mean, you've cleared out a lot of orcs, but who knows?
We need to
down those stairs? Are there more? Perhaps you could rest up, get full power, go back in, have another argument with Pock. Who knows?
I think we'd want to get back to...
Find out next week on the Dice and Die Show.
You've already signed off.
I know. Thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in. It's been a pleasure. As always, do make sure that you subscribe if you haven't already, that you follow us on the Twitters and the Facebooks, and that you give us a review. We always ask for reviews. I'm going to tell you right now, if I haven't done so before, why it's so important. There are literally thousands of Dungeons & Dragons podcasts out there. Loads of them. A lot of them are better than us, don't get me wrong. But there's loads. What really, really helps, I mean, we don't make any money from this. We do this for fun, but it takes a lot of effort for us to do it. And, you know, a lot of time and stuff goes into it. By giving us a review, it just gives us a little bit back to us, but it helps us appear higher up in searches. So when new people are looking and they're going on their app and they're going, oh, Dungeons and Dragons, if the more reviews we've got, the higher we're going to appear in those charts, the higher we're going to appear in searches, which means that more people will find us. So it really is the easiest, the quickest, and the cheapest, it's free way of giving back to us. However, if you do want to give us some money, then please do. You can do so. Have a look in the description. You'll see that there is a link on our Red Circle website where you can actually donate a small amount of money. Buy me a coffee. Why the fuck not? I'm paying out of my own pocket for a Roll20 subscription. I've bought modules for this, the lot. Give me some money, bitches.
Give me your money.
Give me your money. No, but seriously, it's been a pleasure, guys. I hope you all had fun. For those on the Twitch stream, of course, we'll be back in 5 minutes to record the next episode. But I need a fag. Love you all. Good night. And remember, may your dice never die.
That was sexy as fuck.
The D&D Show would like to thank Sorco Soundscapes on YouTube for the music used in this recording. Find him on Twitter at Sorco Sounds. Thank you to Lewis Gell for writing our theme tune. Find him on Twitter at LewisSWGell. And thank you to our very own James Bly for creating the new incredible orchestral arrangement. Lastly, from all of us here at the D&D Show, thank you for downloading our podcast. You are amazing. We'll see you next time. The D&D Show is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast, LLC.
Danger. Mystery. Intrigue. Think you've heard all that actual play podcasts have to offer? Think again. I'm Nate Peterson. I'm Nate Peterson, the Dungeon Master for... Yes, Stuart, what can I do for you?
I know naught of this, Stuart. My name is Dweezil Vansafir, the Bard of Bards.
Well, firstly, your name's Stuart and you're from Yorkshire. Secondly, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to record an advert for our show.
Well, firstly, in your parlance... I've never even heard of this Yorkshire. And secondly, if there is a show to be advertised, then surely it should be I, Dweezil Vansafir, to do the advertising.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely this is a job for me as the Dungeon Master.
Perhaps a, song?
No, I certainly don't think it's time for a song.
Five adventurers, brave and true, strong of will and strong of arm, a band unbreakable through and through, they protect each other from insult and harm. What more persuasion could one require? Tune in to hear our tales.
Dice and Desire. You see, Stuart, words do have power, but certainly not as much power as the Dungeon Master. Join me as I corral my merry band of misfits to Storm King's Thunder every week on Dice and Desire, a 5e actual play podcast.
What up, Nerd Nation? Steve here from the Dads with Nerdy Ambitions podcast, or DNA for short, your go-to podcast for all things nerd culture. You want to know fun facts about the latest movies? Done. Interested in a new hobby? We've got you. Have questions and want to hear from the experts? Say no more. Join me and my crew every week to hear about our latest takes on everything nerdy and go on a few tangents on the Dads with Nerdy Ambitions podcast, where we know it's not just a hobby, it's hereditary.